So we really do have to think about, you know, there's still only 24 hours in a day, but there's more to be done. And that requires us to really think about priorities, our values, and how do we find a healthy balance between everything that's so important to us.
Welcome to the DuPage Business Beat, a podcast about today's biggest business issues told from a Chicagoland perspective. Hello, Chicagoland, and welcome to the DuPage Business Beat. I'm Greg Bedloff, President and CEO of Choose DuPage and host of the podcast. Today, we're talking about something that every employer and every employee cares about, wellness in the workplace. Specifically, we're talking about mental health, why it's so important, what factors affect it, and how we can create better workplaces. I'm joined here in the studio today by Dr. Lindsay Harrington and Gina Sharp from Endeavor Health, Linden Oaks Hospital, and Behavioral Health Services. Gina is president of Endeavor Health, Linden Oaks. Dr. Harrington is a licensed clinical psychologist and manager of the group's counseling centers. Gina, Lindsay, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. We're so happy to be here.
And it's great to have you here with us today on the campus of COD, kind of right in your backyard. So not too bad of a commute for you guys to get here.
Absolutely.
And we really, really appreciate it. Dr. Harrington, I want to start with you and let's keep it simple, because I think that mental health is something that we're learning about and trying to discover more on a daily basis. Why is mental health so important in the workplace today? And why should our employers care about mental health in terms of their employees' well-being?
You know, mental health is incredibly important for all people. And what we know today is that we no longer work 9-to-5 jobs where we get to cut out and go home and, you know, have a second part of our day. Our work life is integrated interchangeably, where our work and our personal lives are merged. And so it's really important that now more than ever, we pay attention to how do we take care of ourselves, make sure that our mind, our body, our, you know, spirit and soul, our emotions are really at their top functioning performance, especially in healthcare. But again, you know, in any, you know, employment industry, we have great products, but our consumers can't get those products without the employees who get them to them. And so we really need our employees to be at their best and their functioning for the longevity of our companies, but also for the well-being of our communities.
You started off with something that is happening here in DuPage, and it's happening again all over the nation. It's a different work culture. It's a different work environment. It's not 9-to-5 anymore. It's remote. It's hybrid. It's in the office when you want to be in the office. It's at home when you want to be at home. It's at your vacation home or wherever you need to be, or your kids' school. All of those are factors, aren't they, as you kind of look at how you can prepare your business and work with your employees to make sure that they're in the right place. Does that make sense?
100%. You know, we don't have structured work schedules, and, you know, our lives have increasingly asked for more and more demands of us. We have more employees now, more people now, more than ever, who are in this, what we call the sandwich generation, where they not only have their own children, but they're also taking care of their, you know, elderly parents. And that's an additional, you know, challenge, you know, as people are living longer, which is fantastic. You know, that also means that there's added stress to those who are in the middle. And how do I provide support to my parents, my family, my children, my work, and do it all? And so we really do have to think about, you know, there's still only 24 hours in a day, but there's more to be done. And that requires us to really think about priorities, our values, and how do we find a healthy balance between everything that's so important to us?
Gina, what do you think about the whole 9-to-5 versus remote and hybrid? Is it, you know, we hear a lot of businesses starting to talk about, because of some of the things that Dr. Harrington just mentioned, that maybe 9-to-5, maybe that structure where you can turn off from all of the other sandwich generation things that you need to do on a day-to-day basis can wait until you get home, whatever that looks like, from work. What are your thoughts as the president of the hospital? Do you see these challenges? What are you thinking in terms of remote versus hybrid and how it affects your workforce and your employees?
Greg, thank you so much. And what Dr. Harrington said is spot on. We are caught in this challenge of balancing our personal life and our work life, and it is very integrated. And while individuals, when they come to work, are required to be very focused on what's happening at the task at hand, it sometimes is hard for our employees to step away and really just focus on work, because the reality is you're still thinking about your child who might be homesick, your mom or dad who might need to get to a doctor's appointment. And so ensuring that we're providing breaks and time for employees to step away and take advantage of that is really important. And the individuals that we're servicing, whether you're in healthcare or in retail business, the consumers who are receiving services are more demanding of what they want.
Well, they want it yesterday. They
right.
don't
they want it
today
yesterday.
Or tomorrow. They want it, believe me.
Immediate gratification.
Exactly.
So, you know, consumers now are looking for more immediate gratification. And so that means they're more demanding and more time-consuming sometimes to take care of. And so employees are looking to switch between hats of making sure they're delivering great service while also still having to take care of their own personal lives, which could be emotionally stressful for them as well.
Yeah. And okay, so that leads me to kind of a structure issue. So if you have a workforce that's hundreds of people, as I'm sure Endeavor has a multiple hundreds, thousands throughout the entire network, and I think I just heard you say that you've got to listen to the needs of each one of those employees, how do you provide that structure? You still have a business to run, right? You still have in your business, mm-hmm. you have outcomes that you're trying to achieve, just like every business. But how do you provide that flexibility to recognize that that mom or that dad has a sick kid at home or a sick parent at home or something that has to be attended to, along with the fact that they have a report that's due the next day or they have an obligation to a customer who says, I want it right away?
If you have the answer, I'd love to have it, because I think that is something that all employers are struggling with, is how do you shift your dynamic to meet your employees' need while still running your operation? And when thinking about how you take care of your employees, I think employers can put different pieces in place to ensure that the employees have resources, such as, is there an employee assistant program? So if they need some counseling support, they have that EAP number to call and reach out to. At the hospital, we have employee support coordinators. So when there's events that happen throughout the organization, we have a licensed therapist who comes and checks in on the person, on the team, and they look at what is going on as a dynamic within that setting, and what do they need as extra hands-on support as well?
You hear a lot about CEOs saying, no, everybody's coming back 9 to 5. You hear CEOs saying, I've heard some CEOs saying cell phones are going to be put in a basket at the front door, and barring an emergency, they're going to stay there until you leave, because distractions are contributing, not contributing to this condition? And is it time now, because I think I know the answer to whether or not it's kind of escalating, is it time to address it kind of head on?
You know, I think that the kind of the answer I would give is that it's about balance, right? Yes, we need structure and we need to, you know, evaluate, like, what is the kind of minimum standard expectation in order for our organization to be able to provide excellent care to our customers, as well as, you know, to work together effectively as a team. And so one of the things that, you know, we've looked at is, what's the minimum number of days that somebody needs to be in office in order for them to be able to be connected with the rest of the department and the other, you know, parts of the department? And so are there things that really need to be kind of mandatory as far as like expectations for just general functioning, you know, to be effective? Or are there ways that we can be flexible? And so it, again, comes back to the sense of balance, right? It can't be all one and it can't be all the other. We have to be able to really communicate with each other about, is the expectations, is the structure working? And not just working for, you know, the company, but working for the employee.
Because if the employee is not there, you have no company, right? And you need those four generations of workers in the workforce today, guys like myself who just couldn't fathom not going to an office every day. It's just how I grew up. It's just my fabric. And during COVID, when we couldn't go into the office every day, just the struggles I had to try to work remotely, it just – I didn't know how to do it. I just flat didn't know how to do it versus my children who, if you told them you're going to the office every day, they would get their resume together and say, no, I'm going to a company where I don't have to go to the office every day.
That's right. And that's a, Greg, that's a great analogy. And when you think about the workforce dynamics and the change of generations working, there is different values that each generation has in place. And it's how do you leverage the best of each of those generations to maximize the well-being of your workforce? Because there's a lot to be said with the knowledge that an older, more tenured individual has to provide insight and mentorship to the new and uprising employee who's coming through the organization. And there's technologies now that exist out there that allow some of that to happen that could provide some flexibility for both the older individual as well as the younger individual.
Yeah, and that's so interesting you brought that up because I would imagine a challenge is mentorship is so critical, right? Mentorship is so important to job cultivation and career cultivation. But as the president of the hospital, don't you also have to worry about if this mentor is the guy who says, rub some dirt on it, get back to your desk, start making calls, do your job, and that's the best way that you can overcome whatever it is that's bothering you. You know, the quite frankly, the archaic older school mentality, that doesn't serve any purpose either.
Coaching moments, Greg. We provide coaching moments to those who need it. And I think that helps then start to shift the culture and the awareness for the employees. And when instances like that happen, because they inevitably will happen, they do happen, it's how do the manager and the employee then connect to say that times are different and we need you because you are so knowledgeable and you have expertise and skills that we need. And we need you to teach that to some of our younger people and pass some of that on. And you know what? The younger people have stuff to teach some of our older people
as
well, too. Oh, and
I've said that a million times.
They think differently, and they have great ideas, and we need to tap into it in both directions.
Yeah, they know how to turn your computer on for you. They know how to do things that you don't know how to do, so maybe you should embrace the knowledge set that they bring to the table. Gina, you brought up the word, so I want to touch on it just for a minute, because I think it's a – you're the experts, but I think it's a bit of a dual-edged sword. Technology. So technology, AI, everything that's coming down the pike and all the advanced learning software tools have to be enormous upside potential benefits for the mental health challenges that the country faces today. Fair statement?
Sure.
They also have to be a bit of a distraction that can lead people down a road that influences decisions they make and contributes to mental health challenges.
Yeah. I think one of the things I saw the best, you know, that kind of like, you know, put it out there well was that AI cannot replace, you know, the human behind, you know, the work that we do. But it can help us be more efficient in how we do our work so that we can really maximize on our own individual human strengths and traits so that we don't get bogged down with some of the things that are the day-to-day kind of commonalities that don't require us to really use like our thinking, our executive decision-making. There are some really cool, you know, uses of AI documentation where you can have AI, you know, sit in and listen to your therapy session and it can document what you did. And, you know, that saves us time. that helps us to be able to focus as a therapist or as a psychologist on, you know, what did I talk about, and being truly present and engaged with my patient, thinking about what their treatment plan is, where I want to go next, instead of, did I remember to write that down so that I can remember to document it later?
Okay.
And so it helps us to do our human job in a more effective way when we partner with AI, but not replace our roles with AI.
Okay. Any thoughts on technology and the role that it's playing in the mental health?
It's complicated.
World? It is, isn't it?
It is complicated because there are technologies now that are coming out there where you could speak to an AI therapist, as an example.
Oh, boy.
So they have designed them to be very sophisticated. Yet at the same time, as humans, we also need that sense of connection, and you need that human face-to-face time. You need to be in a setting. That's what makes us human.
Sure.
And even to peel it back a little bit further, more and more people are wanting to come in person for their appointments.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm.
It is, because of that connectedness and the feeling you get when you're in a room sitting across from somebody and can talk with them. And so even just the telehealth, I think, is a balance of virtual versus in person. So now let's layer on AI, and I think AI will serve a purpose, and I think it will help to a degree. And then it's, where is it that you need that human interaction to come into play? And I think that time will tell us on how that will continue to develop in the future.
So let's talk about the emerging mental health needs of employers today and employees today. What are you guys seeing from a employer standpoint or an employee standpoint from mental health needs? And what are some of the resources out there? What are some of the obstacles out there to helping move in the right direction?
I think it's important for employers to focus on their employees' mental health needs, because when the mental health needs are taken care of for their employees, they'll be more productive at work. There'll be less absenteeism or unplanned absenteeism. And their benefits that they spend for healthcare benefits will also probably be reduced, because they'll be also taking care of themselves, most likely medically better as well, too. And so it's important, I think, for employers to focus on employees' mental health for the productivity of their own company. And there's been a lot of different strategies that we focused on and have worked with other companies to give them tips on what they can also help promote within for their employees.
Yeah, you know, we've had companies reach out and ask for support in that. And I give them tremendous kudos on recognizing, hey, we need help in this. There's no, you know, shame in saying, I have strengths in this area, but I need somebody to support me in something that I clearly see as a need for my organization, and help us to practice better well-being, practice better self-care, tell us how we can do things more effectively for the wellness of our employees and our company. And so we've done things to, you know, do small groups and talk with employers, you know, in their different management teams and departments on what are the stressors that you're experiencing, both personally and work related. How do you get support around that? How are you taking care of yourself across, you know, the different dimensions of wellness and well-being? And then offering resources and opportunities, making sure that they're aware of both their employees or their employer's resources, as well as what other resources are available in the community.
Well, and I think that I would say it might be fair to say that many of the people listening to our podcast don't know that those resources are out there, don't know that you guys are a resource, might not know that you're willing to go into that business, to work with that business, to give them tips and strategies. That's something that your organization is committed to? That's something that you do?
We've done that for a few organizations, and we also provide mental health first aid training. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with mental health first aid, but it is a 8-hour course where a layman and anybody could go through it and learn the signs and symptoms of mental health and substance use and how to identify, recognize, and know how to give suggestions on where to go for additional help. And employers like it because it's a starting block for them to start working on engaging their employees and giving them a resource and a tool to use as well. Linden Oaks to date has trained, I think, over 30,000 people within DuPage County. Yeah. So a lot of people have been
trained. I mean, who knew that? And I can't wait to put that on Choose DuPage's social media and make the business community aware that that is out there for them.
Yeah. And it's a great way to really start learning about mental health and substance use and how to recognize and identify signs and symptoms. It doesn't make you a clinician
right.
by any means,
yeah.
but it's really just to help break the stigma and create awareness.
And for those that are listening, you mentioned substance abuse twice now, and you said it's an 8-hour class and we don't have an 8-hour podcast, but signs and symptoms. So if in a short and condensed version, what are some of the signs and the symptoms that substance abuse could be an issue or that mental health is having an impact on an employee's workday or life?
You know, I'd say the most obvious thing to look for is change in behavior. You know, when somebody, you know, is not their typical self, that is a good time to start asking questions. You know, the person who's normally smiley and sunshiny and talks to everybody who comes in and just goes to their office and puts their head down, or the person who's normally cool, calm, and collected who, you know, has suddenly a very short fuse, someone who's got perfect attendance and then suddenly starts showing up late. When you notice, you know, behavioral changes, you know, in somebody, that's the first time to start asking questions. And it might only be that it's happened once or twice, but what we need to do is to start letting people know that they are being seen, that they are recognized for their strengths, their consistency, you know, that I see you do a great job. And this isn't to point out that you're not doing something right. This isn't like, you know, a disciplinary conversation. This is about concern. This is about, you know, compassion. I care because I know you're a good employee and this is outside your normal. And so I am choosing to pause in our day to sit down and have a dedicated conversation, not just a 5-minute, like, you know, we're both in the elevator and like, you good, but really to sit down and say, hey, are you okay?
So indulge me from a role-playing perspective. I'm fine, Lindsay. I just had a rough day.
What? You know, Greg, things seem different for you.
Okay.
And so I want to take this time to give you that open space to say, I care. I know that it can be hard to open up to people about, you know, stress that's going on, but I'm here as a listening ear. I want to help you however I can. And if I can't help you, I want to make sure I can get you to the person who can help you.
And let's talk about those people who can help. Linden Oaks, obviously, those are people that can help. DuPage County is embarking on a crisis recovery center on the county campus. I know that you're a little involved in that and hopefully more to be involved as things go on. But let's talk a little bit about, I know you have a call center or call center number.
Mm-hmm.
Share some of the resources and kind of your feelings on our CRC that Chair Conroy is passionate about and that is currently under construction out at the county.
Yeah, we're very fortunate to have Deb Conroy advocate for mental health in our county. And the CRC, the Crisis Resource Center, is going to be a really great resource for our community because individuals will be able to go and show up there and receive immediate care as needed. And it'll be a resource to collaborate with our police department and our fire departments. Other resources include Linden Oaks Hospital, similar to what the county is putting together, a free walk-in assessment that could be done at Linden Oaks. We have 106 inpatient beds servicing adolescents, adults, geriatric patients. We also have robust outpatient programs where we have day programming for individuals, as well as med management and counseling services at 7 different sites, of which I believe 3 are in DuPage County. And then we have the call center line where individuals can call if they're not sure where to start. Sometimes it's that first step. What is that first step somebody needs to figure out what to do? And they could call that number, 630-305-5027.
I want to wrap up with a couple of questions on maybe trends. You guys are really helping people. Are we seeing a positive trend? Are we providing the correct number and types of resources to try to address this? Because we have to address it.
You know, so I would say that there are more people who need help. And the stigma regarding getting help is reducing. And I think as a society, we've made huge strides that people recognize that it's okay to be depressed or have anxiety or even have a substance use issue. And I need help. And I'm not the only one who needs help. And as more people speak up and speak out about their journey or their loved one's journey, then it makes it more common. And it's just like having to go to your primary care doctor to take care of your diabetes or your hypertension, right? We need to take care of your mental health as well, because you are a whole person, mind, body, and spirit, and we need to take care of all of it. And so while we are recognizing and breaking that stigma, we're seeing that I think more people are willing to get help. And so we're starting to see people need more counseling services so that we could try to maybe mitigate some of the higher levels of care of inpatient or day programming as well. Yet all of those services are really important and needed as well, too, because there's a variation of what type of care people need depending on where you're at in the process.
And where does substance abuse play into all of that? Are we seeing an increase in that, a decrease in that, or what impact is that having on the mental health environment?
You know, I know that in COVID and, you know, kind of subsequently following afterwards, we definitely saw, you know, significant increases in the amount of substance use referrals and presenting issues coming into both our ERs as well as our mental health services. And I think, you know, people are still trying to figure out like how to find ways to get the support and the help that they need. And so I think we still continue to see that, you know, as a predominant area of focus and really just helping people to learn better coping strategies around how do I manage, you know, feelings of discomfort and pain when life feels overwhelming. Mm-hmm. There's so much to do, or when there is loss in my life, or I don't feel like things are, you know, lining up as quickly as I'd like them to. How do we cope with that, you know, impatience and dissatisfaction or short-term pains in a more effective way?
Yeah, I would just like to add on. I think the one area that I have personal concerns over is the legality of the use of marijuana. And one of the trends that we're seeing in the hospital is, especially amongst young people in their early 20s, is that is usually when your first psychotic break happens. And when combining that with the use of marijuana, we're just seeing an early onset of psychosis. And because it's legal, I think a lot of individuals feel that there's no worse harm from using marijuana. But yet we're seeing trends where we're seeing earlier onsets of psychotic breaks. And I think that that's really important for the community.
And I think that's really important and almost courageous for you to say, because
I know, right?
In today's world, with the legalization of cannabis and the explosion of cannabis revenue in the state and the country, to recognize from a medical expert who deals with this each and every day that it's not all wine and roses. I commend you for that. That's a very courageous statement. It's very factual. And if it's something that we bury our head in the sand on, then we're not doing anybody a service.
So, or just because something is legal doesn't mean that it's safe,
yeah,
right? And
of course.
You know, I think that's what Gina is talking about. And unfortunately, you know, I think people hear, you know, oh, people have, you know, an episode of psychosis and they think, oh, well, that's just one experience. But some of these, you know, adolescents are now impacted that they are living with psychosis symptoms and not being able to go back to school, not being able to hold down jobs because of a single, you know, experience that they've had. And so it really is something that we need to take seriously, that just because something is legal for us does not necessarily mean that it is good for us.
Great. Okay, so my last question. Businesses growing up and businesses becoming bigger businesses and kind of planting a flag here in DuPage. What's the first thing you two would tell them if they came to you and said, we believe everything you're saying, and they wanted to start a mental health or a mental wellness initiative? What's the first thing they should do? Or what's the first place they should go?
I think that they should check in with their people, be present, meet with them, talk with them, hear where they're at and what's going on.
Couldn't have said it better. That was exactly, I smiled. That was the same thing that I was thinking. You know, you have to make time to talk to your staff. And I think especially for our entrepreneurs, our, you know, primary business owners who are kind of out there doing it on their own, they don't often have the time, they feel like, to slow down because there is so much that you're doing when you're a small business and the responsibilities are so big for each of those, you know, employees. And yet, if we don't take time to slow down and to check in on how is this going? How is our change management process going? How is our health going? If we don't make opportunity to connect with each other, we will end up finding cracks later down the road and the business long term will suffer.
That is some sound advice. And I thank you for it. And I thank you for joining us on the podcast today. And more importantly, I guess I thank Lyndon Oakes and Endeavor Health for having that presence and having this passion and having the ability to do what you guys are doing to address mental health in the workplace. And I'm sorry to my daughter, Claire, who I hope is listening, but as the proud father of a psychiatrist, the medical doctor, the work that she and you do day in and day out is commendable.
Thank you. Greg, thank you so much.
So that's it for today's show. Gina, Lindsay, thank you so much for joining me. And as always, thank you to the College of DuPage for supporting today's episode. To keep up with what's happening in DuPage County and the Chicagoland region, follow Choose DuPage on social media or visit choosedupage.com. I'm Greg Bedlove. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on the DuPage Business Beat.